unison sound of men's voices, praise the Lord, and singing. I appreciate it. Thankful for these men. Thankful for what today is. Get your Bibles out this morning. We got a late start, all right? So we're a half an hour into the service. In my mind, I got about. Some of you are on sugar coma now. It was a good idea a few moments ago to ingest 6,000 calories of fried sugary goodness, but now, catching up with you. There's a lot of hats that we wear. Maybe you're a plumber or an engineer. Maybe you're this or that. But one of my favorite hats that I get to put on is being a dad. I love being a father. I love our children. I say that coming off a 12-hour car ride. So there are some stipulations. Part of the ride, if you drive about 75 miles an hour and open up the windows, it just silences everybody. So they're like, "Dad, no, the AC isn't working, son. We're just gonna put down the windows and put everyone to sleep for a few minutes in the car." But I love being a dad. I love the stage that we're at. I've loved it all the way through. I'm thankful that we are not force feeding strained peas and changing dirty diapers. If you're at that point, enjoy it. There's some good days coming. I'm just letting you know. Oldest is 18, the youngest is 11, and man, so enjoy their fellowship. I love being their dad. I love them each so much, and thankful for that. I ask some of your children, mainly teenagers and young adults, what's your favorite part about your dad? What do you love most about your dad? One young person said, "I love his integrity. I love his integrity. I love his humor. I regularly pull my children aside and share dad jokes." Regularly. Yes, Joe, is that true? It is true. I laugh myself silly. Right behind you. One day they will be telling the same jokes. I enjoy a good sense of humor. Another young person said, "I love about my dad that he's steady and consistent." And that's good. Love for God's creation. That's a good thing. His example of listening to what God's telling him to do. The time he spends and invests in us. This is coming from your kids. Isn't that a blessing? He always does what has to be done and doesn't need applause for it. Listen now, even if he deserves it. Isn't that a blessing? Hey, dads, you may think you wake up and you do your thing and you're like, no one knows, no one sees. Oh, your kids are watching. And out of all the things that they could talk about, these are the things. You say, "You edited those." No, I didn't, not in the least. I just wrote what they said. You know, everyone knows what makes a poor father. Well, there have been times as a dad that we've dropped the ball a little bit. Appreciate the graciousness of my children and the help from my wife to get me back on course when she sees that switch flip and all of a sudden God's wrath is about to be poured out through dad upon a child, and there's all of a sudden someone standing in the way. It says, can we talk in the bedroom for a minute? And I appreciate those times, and thankful for that. I am just like you, flesh, and sometimes that comes out. And we've all done the wrong thing. Bible warns us in Ephesians 6:4, right? "Any fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Have you been guilty of provoking your children to wrath?" Sure. Yep. We have done exactly what God told us not to do. Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger." And it warns us, it says, "lest they be discouraged." We don't want to discourage our kids. But there have been times when we have done just that, saying, how do you do that? By living a double standard don't do as I do as I say. And that's probably the worst parenting that you could possibly do. The best parenting is not to say anything and just live an example, right? That would be good. I mean, certainly followed with instruction. But there have been times when we've provoked our children to wrath by living a double standard or, again, expecting things from them that we ourselves have not done. And please understand that that is discouraging. That is discouraging to your children. The Bible warns us in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Sometimes that word betimes is defined. It doesn't say, see, I got to beat him many, correct him many times. Betimes doesn't mean many. It means before it's too late. It means seasonably, like right now. There's going to come a time. I mean, Sam got a spanking, 2 weeks ago? There's going to come a time when that opportunity has passed. Use it while you can. Nothing wrong with invoking the fear of the Lord, not through anger. Understand that. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Go there real quick. This will be the last thing of what not to do, but I think it's worth mentioning because it's really important because it is so detrimental in a family. And often young people misconstrue this or misunderstand this. So while they're in here, they'll get a chance to hear it also, give some insight into why parents do what they do. Say, how's your throat? Great. So good. So much better than last week. I've had a cough all week this week. Don't know what that's all about. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And the Bible says in verse 12, in that day I will perform against Eli. So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We are transitioning from the kind of the work of Eli, which was very short-lived in our story here, to that of Samuel. We will eventually get to the life of David in 1 Samuel. But in verse 12 it says, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. Say, oh, God's going to pour out his blessing upon the house of Eli. Not exactly. When I begin, I will also make an end. He says this, for I have told him, God warned Eli that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity, look at, which he knoweth. There were bad things happening in Eli's house. God told Eli, and God, and the Bible says this, very sorrowful words, because his iniquity, which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile. And look at this next phrase, and he restrained them not. One of the worst parenting jobs you could do is take your hands off your kids. I'm not saying physical. I'm saying, I'm just going to let their ship guide themselves. They're going to be in the bulrushes, and they're going to hit rocks, and they're going to hit some bad things. God warned Eli. He says, you got sin in your house. And Eli did this. I'm just going to pretend it's not there. The worst thing, one of the worst things as a parent that you can do is restrain not your kids. Hey, I love my kids, therefore I'm going to stop them from harming themselves. Do we not see that with the Lord? Does he not do that? Eli was warned. This is what a bad parent is. This is bad parenting. We don't need information about bad parenting. We could write volumes of books on what not to do, right? I mean, we've experienced it. Maybe you've been the recipient of a poor parenting. I'm sorry. I'll tell you this, though. You don't have an excuse. The Word of God here has lended itself and taught us. My parents got divorced when I was young. I was raised by my mom. That's no excuse for me to neglect the principles and the teachings of God. So thankfully, not only does he warn us of some things, don't live a double standard, don't provoke your children to wrath, restrain them. We restrain them because we love them. But here's some things that we can do. Just 3 points here this morning. 3 John, go with me to 3 John, a familiar verse. 3 John 3:16. Neglect is a terrible thing. My experience has been, if you neglect a problem, it doesn't go away. This past week, 2 weeks ago, I got a cut on my finger. No big deal. I get cuts all the time. Well, all of a sudden, it started getting a little sore about a week ago. Again, no big deal. Slap some Neosporin on it. That's what that does, right? That's why we spend $4 for some ointment. I have the miracle ointment. I don't know what it does. And I put it on there, and all of a sudden, it stopped being sore. Well, while we were away in Tennessee, all of a sudden, that infection said, you know what? You've neglected me long enough, and we're going to cause some troubles. And all of a sudden, my fingers swelled way up, and it got really hot and red, and like you could feel it. It was like thump, thump. So because of that neglect, well, I had to go to the doctor, and the lady said, well, I'm going to give you some antibiotics, and we need to get it right into your body right now. I said, okay, no problem. And I said, she's like, that, it doesn't go there. We're approximately an hour into our ride with 11 hours ahead, and this woman with a needle running across the room, just neglect. Let something go that I should have attended to. The Bible warns us, and he says, hey, in parenting, don't just let your kids go. They're going to need some intervention in their life. We read 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4, probably the prayer of all of us as dads, as parents. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Say, oh yeah, that'll just happen. That will not just happen. As a father, it is our responsibility to guide our children in truth. This is instruction. 3 John 1:4 isn't an accident or a coincidence. This just doesn't happen. This is deliberate. This comes from the godly teaching of a godly man. Again, I told you I grew up in a home that didn't necessarily have that. Say, what'd you do? Well, there were men in the church. I just came by my way and taught me these things. I'm thankful for that. So if you're here today and you feel like I don't have this privilege, I understand. But I'm thankful you're here today because you're surrounded by that opportunity. Even though it may not live in your house or down the hall from your room, it is available. There is a guide of truth. And to walk with the Lord isn't by accident, it's deliberate. One of the greatest things a father can do is to give godly instruction to their children. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Dad, it is your responsibility to make sure they get the truth. We read the verses this morning. Mr. Bauman did a great job in teaching about the words of Christ. And the words of Christ sometimes divide homes. Say, why would that be? Because some neglect the word of God. But the word of God was there. Eventually, young man, young lady, you're going to have to make a decision. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. I think it was last Sunday night that Chloe stood up in front of a lot of people and said, I'm not going to walk away from the things of the Lord. That's a bold statement, Chloe. I pray that that's in your heart and you stick with that. And I want to be a help to you every step of the way. That doesn't happen by accident. Hey, dads, can you exemplify the role of the father? Say, what does that look like? Well, you know, there's some practical things you can teach. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Right? Some good financial things, but there's so much more than finance, can I say? How much more so? You know what I would love for you'll learn about your parenting when you have grandchildren, they say. Because the instructions and the ways that you taught your children to parent, they will take away with and then apply that. So you'll get a chance to see what kind of parent you are, well, within children's children. It kind of scares me. What am I teaching them to then pass on? Because I want to leave a godly heritage.
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 6 will help us with this, because a lot of times we spend a lot of wasted efforts on things that just don't mean as much. I don't think we should. I don't think it's wise to be an unwise steward of the physical resources that God has given us. But you understand that there's something more important than finances. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Now, I understand that the Bible talks a lot about finance. I'm not saying that, but there is something better. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I don't want my children's heart given to the things of this world. Hey, if there was something that I could exemplify or teach my children as the role of the father, I would like to teach them about an inheritance that can't be touched by a crypto crash. Imagine if all we did for the last 3 years is pointed our kids' financial efforts towards cryptocurrency. Say, that would be cool. You obviously haven't turned on the TV lately, which is fine. But imagine, over the last 10, 15 years, you've taught your children that the things that are most valuable are the things that God has said, and we're going to work on eternal things. You know what? No man can take that away. Right now, Bitcoin is trading at less than $20,000 a share. Say, that sounds pretty good. It was at like $56,000. It's about crashed. Say, $20,000, I'll take it. I understand that these things go up and down. The promises and the principles and the investment in the work of the Lord is unparalleled by anything that this world could ever invest in. And the greatest thing that we as dads could guide in truth and instruction, and to exemplify, so words match with actions. Hey, it's really important to teach your children to tithe. Do you tithe? It's really important to teach your children to give to missions and go on missions trips, but do you do that? Well, it's good for the kids. My time has passed for that. Hey, how about we exemplify laying up treasures in heaven? Exemplify the role of a godly father, and not just in resources. How about just in godliness itself? 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain." Yeah. Look with me in Titus chapter number 2. First point this morning, we read that verse in 3 John verse 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." That is not by accident. That takes time. That takes some instruction, Dad. Titus chapter number 2 and verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." Hey, these things need to be taught. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm going to ask, children, is this what Dad is teaching you? Well, these are Dad's movies. These are the movies you watch. This is Dad's music. This is your music. This is Dad's drink. This is your drink. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Not just instruction, but in exemplifying. Are we an example of godliness? Are we an example of manliness? Man, this world is trying to sissify our men. I'm trying to be a shelter to my children from this... mess. Thank you, brother. Never mind, okay. It's a mess. Things that they're teaching our children. It's a mess. Teaching our men to be men. What does that look like? Well, does that look like you got to be John Bunyan? You got to have a beard. You got to wear overalls and a flannel. No, it doesn't mean that. It's teaching our men to love their mom by the example of husbands loving their wives. That's manliness. To be able to provide for their home. To be able to protect their home. Hey, Dad, you ought to be able to stand at your door and say, that ain't coming in here. You ought to be an example of what a real family ought to look like. Well, too late. No, it's not two ladies. It's not two men. That's ungodly. That's wicked. And that goes directly against what God has established. Well, we just need to tolerate. No tolerating sin. We don't tolerate sin. Say, what would you do if two men? I'd say, let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. Exemplify that, gentlemen. Our fathers need to be a guide of truth. Again, 3 John verse 4 doesn't happen by accident. Would you turn over to Psalm 103, point number 2. So how many did you say? 3 points. We got 3 points. Tonight's message probably won't be that long either. We got a special song Charity's probably going to be singing tonight. I told her to be ready. All right? And she sings a song, and I just love it. I heard it again. I was weed whacking yesterday, and I heard it again. It came on, and she was in my driveway. I'm like, look at this. I said, be ready for this tomorrow. She's like, for real? I said, yeah, for real. So come back tonight, and we got a couple youth choir songs tonight. A couple. Did you hear that, brother? A couple. Yeah, all right. Psalm 103. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, as a father pitieth his children. That word pity is the biblical definition. I understand how we use it now, and I'm not saying our definition now isn't right. But if you look at the biblical definition of pity, that means compassion accompanied with some act of charity. So that's me looking at my child and go, I love them. And because I love them, I want to do something for them. It's going to follow up with some action. Say, what, getting them ice cream? Sure, maybe. But I'll tell you, well, I would say probably 4 out of my 5 children would rather just spend time. There's one, he loves food. Hudson loves food. His love language is ice cream and food. Right, Joe? I mean, like, he hears food. Like, I mean, we're just... He loves it. If you've grabbed him, you know that. But there's something more important than just, hey, let's go off right. How do you express love for your children? By spending time with them. Do you know your kids? Say, what do you mean? I mean, like their birthday? You know, I understand sometimes, you know, like I have to start at 1 and kind of work our way down and all of that. But do you know your kids? Do you know your kids' heart? Do you listen to them? Do you listen to them as they express their cares and needs and worries and fears? Or Dad, you're just not approachable like that. I would never talk to my dad like that. I would never talk to him about it. Why not? We just don't talk like that. You have no pity on your children. There's no compassion accompanied with some kind or some act of charity. And how is that spent? Or how is that showed? That's investment of time and care. That was one of the things your children said. He spends time. The time he spends and invests in us. That was their favorite part of their dad. They don't know, children don't know what it takes to make a family work. That's why they're children. But there are certain things that stand out to them. Lord, help us if we don't have a pitiful eye upon our children. Meaning what? Compassionate. Are you trying to constantly get away from your kids? Or are you trying to be around them? I understand some children are easier to get along with than others. Right? I don't know. Maybe one of you is easier to get along with. I like both these boys. These are very nice. And maybe your personality just lends itself with. I was talking to my brother-in-law. We spent some time in Tennessee. He had this great bit of insight. He has two boys. His one boy is just like him, firstborn and just a strong type of personality and just kind of independent, self-motivated and all of that. And his second son is completely opposite. And as a dad, you just kind of, I like to hang around people that are like me and have similar personality and similar humor and similar interests. Yeah, well, what happens when your child's not like that? He was having a hard time with it, and he told me this. He went to his wife, and he says, I have a hard time. I don't think the same way. And I don't see things the same way as my second son. And she said this. She goes, you know what? He's exactly like me. Just think of me when you look at him. Just love him how you love me. He said, that changed my whole... He's not like me. But he had a compassionate eye. Do you have pity towards your children? Meaning, compassion. Do you see their needs? When your children come and say, Dad, I need... And you just go, you don't need that. Get out of here. And now I understand, I do that a lot too. But listen, there may be something interwoven in there. That there is a need. Thirdly and lastly, Proverbs chapter number 20. My study of all of this, I felt like this was the most impacting verse that I read. And so encompassing and so powerful. How do you like responsibility? No, I don't like responsibility. I want to sit on the couch and eat chips and watch TV. I don't want to have to fix stuff and do stuff. And sometimes maybe that's why we don't read the scriptures, is to read about our responsibilities. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, it says this, the just man walketh in his integrity. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Tell me, young person, what's the thing you love most about your dad? His integrity. He listens to what God tells him to do. He does what has to be done and doesn't need applause for it. Do you understand that some of you here, just by your own children's testimony, which I would say is high praise, are fulfilling these things? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. This is a walk daily with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Integrity. I'm going to ask. Yes, number one, are you instructing and exemplifying the things of God? Do you have a love and care for your children? But thirdly, do you have personally a walk with the Lord? Do you live out your faith? Have you submitted yourself to God? James chapter number 4 in verse 7. I'll read it as you get there. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves. Have you submitted your... That's good for our teenagers. They go to camp. You know what our kids need? They need to submit themselves to the Holy Spirit of God and the will of God. Absolutely, 100%. But you know what those kids need? They need a dad that will submit himself to the Holy Spirit of God and the will of God. Man, it sure would be nice for our kids to come back from camp and find their parents completely submitted to the work of the Lord. Live out your faith. Verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Again, what was some of the most detrimental things that we can do as a dad is to be double-minded, to be hypocritical, to say one thing and do another. God warns us here. Hey, get rid of that stuff. Submit yourselves. Just dad, say, I don't know how to do dadding. I get it. In my life, I didn't know. Learned a lot. Honestly, I'd like to do it again. You know what I'm saying, Brother Sutler? I've learned a lot. I'm excited about grandchildren. I mean, not right now, but I'm saying I'm someday. With 5 kids, we should get at least 1 or 2 grandchildren. Barring the Lord's return, I'd rather see Jesus, okay? Never mind, okay. We've completely diverted. But draw nigh to God. Hey, if there was one thing that you could do, say, I don't know what to do, just get close to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. That would be the best thing as a dad, as a mom, as a child that you could ever do. The Bible says in Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Walk in integrity. Do right. Do right even though nobody's watching. Just do right. God's watching. Be consistent. Don't live a life of a roller coaster. What does that mean? Hey, one day we are all in, 100%. We're at church. We're camping at church. I want to be at church so much. I'm going to get involved in everything. We're selling our house. We're giving everything. And then 2 weeks later, I'm not going near that place. And up and down, up and down. Man, that volatility is detrimental to families. Oh, when we have a parent come and say, we'd like to put our children in the school and say, okay, you've kind of been in, out. Can we kind of make a long-term commitment? It's what's best for the kids. I understand life changes, and I'm not saying that, but man, all the time just moving around, that's hard on a kid. It's hard in their faith that, hey, Dad, I'll be honest, I've read a lot of parenting books. People ask me, I need a good book on parenting. All right, and we'll go to my shelf and I'll pull a couple things off. But can I tell you, hands down, 100%, best book I've ever read is the one sitting in your lap. Honestly, no author would like to hear this. But no author could ever tell you more clearly than what the Word of God says. My experience has been, the families that have some of the hardest times as parenting, I go to their house and they have volumes of books. Because they'd rather read about Doctor Who or Doctor Her or whoever it is instead of the great physician. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Abba Father. Rather read about some, there's got to be a new word. It's a, you know what, we need this latest parenting. Yeah. How about we go with something that's just tried and true?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because what a lot of those parenting books do, they put the responsibility on the child, not on the parent. And I told you, as a dad, one of the worst things we can do is neglect our responsibility as a parent. Don't neglect that. Lastly, you said 3 points. Yeah, but there's like a bridge kind of lastly. Romans chapter number 8. We should have dinner on the grounds today, just gone right into it. Just trying to be a help to our dads, all right? Every now and then, as a man, it's good to get a little encouragement. So I don't need no encouragement. I don't need those cards or chocolate. All right, maybe a little chocolate, but keep the flowers. I don't need the flowers. It's good to, every now and then, be encouraged. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Say, I don't know my dad. That might be true. That makes me sad. We were praying this morning, just this morning, Brother Rice, for the fatherless. There really are some people, even within this room, aren't you glad to know that God said, come on in. I'll adopt you. And look at, you can even call me, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the Hebrew equivalent of the word daddy. That's the come up and snuggle close. I love sitting on the couch there, and we're sitting in just Tennessee, and my daughter's sitting next to me, and she sits next to me. She could sit up straight, she could lean right, but instead she leaned left and put her arm right around my arm and just held on tight. And I like that. As a dad, right? Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what God wants? Isn't that what God has provided? Hey, I understand circumstances in life. I get it. That there are some difficult situations. But please know that you could always come to the Lord and He can be your father. I'm telling you, in my life, the one that taught me the best about parenting and being a father and a husband is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we that suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And praise the Lord. Someday someone, I'm going to pass on and maybe leave something to my children. Could you imagine God the Father? Imagine what kind of inheritance that is. See, God has never had a double standard. The worst part of parenting, God has never expressed to us. He's never double-minded. He's never hypocritical. He doesn't do any of that. He's perfect. He corrects us perfectly. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, what? He chasteneth. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. I don't like when God corrects me. He does it because He loves you and He does it perfectly. Ever correct out of anger? Man, I hate that. I wish I could go back and undo all those times and things I've said or the spirit by which I tried to instruct. Do you know that God has never done that? God, our Heavenly Father, has never lived a double standard, corrects us perfectly, guides us in all truth. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. He has demonstrated, say, God is pitiful. In Psalm 103, verse 13, we read the first part of that verse. As a father pitieth his children. The second half of the verse says, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. That means He looks down upon us with a compassionate eye and says, I'm going to do something about that. God looked at us in our worst state, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thankful that the pity that God looks. You want to talk about God's integrity? Hey, we have a perfect Father. Say, I know I'm sitting next to my dad. He's great. He's awesome. We have the perfect Father in God Himself. Hey, if you're here this morning, and your earthly father isn't here, not just in this room, but maybe not. Please know that you have a Heavenly Father. I'll tell you, and my sister would probably agree with me, in our life, the best time was when my mom was single. She just relied on the Lord. Because God was our Father. He met all of our needs. If you're hurting here today, I encourage you to come to the Father. Maybe you want to thank God for your dad. Maybe after listening to this, and maybe you made a decision. See, years ago in my life, I made a decision what I did not want to do. I lived, our life was somewhat volatile, up and down a bit, and growing up in a split home, and I just decided, I don't know all the answers, but I know what I don't want. I know what I don't want to do to my kids. Maybe you're here today, and maybe in your heart, young men, listen to this now. You make a decision to do those things. Hey, the best time to make that decision about what to be as a dad is today. See, I don't even got anyone on the radar. There's nobody. It's not like, hey, in a few months we're going to... No, no. Young man, I encourage you today to make a decision. I'm going to walk in integrity. I want to have a compassionate heart and a compassionate eye. And I want to know what the truth is. Study the Word of God. One day it's going to be demanded of you. And it is hard to give what you don't have. The way in to worship service, it was asked of me, can the future dads have a donut after service? Only if you dedicate your heart to be the man of God. You don't just get the benefits of that. Hey, how about today, young man? I'm going to decide to do these things today. See, I want to get ready for fatherhood and to be a godly man. That starts today. And maybe this. Maybe you need to yield yourself to God. As God being that perfect Father, maybe He's been drawing or pulling at you. Maybe He's been correcting you. You've been resisting. I know my children, when the children had done wrong and they resisted, that just got worse for them. If they did wrong and then lied about it, Mr. Seatman, we almost forget about what you did wrong, and that lie is one of the most... Fire's about to come down. How about God our Father? If we're resisting the work of the Lord, have you yielded yourself to God Himself? Can I ask you here, what kind of example are you living? Say, I've blown it, I've messed it up, I've ruined it, it would have been better had I never had. Hey, start today. Start today. There's got to be a turning point somewhere in there. I didn't do it right. Well, praise the Lord, you have a beautiful mid-60 degree, full sunshine day to come to the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry, I messed it up. I'm going to do it your way now. Because my way don't work. We just need some humble men to come to the Lord and say, God, I've blown it. Need your help now. Let's all stand. Hey, if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, today's the day. I say that every Sunday, but really, I don't know why you wouldn't. Why wouldn't your sin... I don't want my sins forgiven. I want to pay for the penalty for my sin. That's about the dumbest thing you could ever say. Okay, that is the dumbest thing you could ever say. You always got to be careful. Like, well, is there something more? Is there something more dumb? Is it, or dumber? Is there something worse than that? No. There's nothing worse than denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, maybe you're here today and yeah, you know exactly what a poor father is. You've experienced it, you were it. All right, well, let's turn the corner. Let's be the guide in truth. Let's exemplify what godliness, manliness, compassion, integrity looks like. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need to come to God, your Father. Just pour out your heart before Him. Just come to Him and pray. Say, God, I'm hurting today. I have a heavy heart. And just cry out to your Abba. What a sweet word that is. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. God, thank You for being that perfect example to us. And God, help us to live a life. Help us to live a life that would exemplify and demonstrate Your power and Your love, Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, help us with these things. Lord, bless this time of invitation. As, Lord, maybe You spoke to some hearts here today. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today?